Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Now, this might sound a little odd, but insect-based foods could soon be a serious solution to global food insecurity and sustainability. At the University of Pretoria, Professor Abdoulaye Ahmed Youssef and his team at the Department of Zoology and Entomology are leading groundbreaking research into the rearing, harvesting and commercialization of edible insects. What am I talking about? Well, things like crickets and mealworms. And he joins me now to discuss the science, also the stigma, I guess, and the surprising economic potential of this so-called superfood. Professor, a very warm welcome, and maybe tell me firstly, what sparked your research into edible insects and why now? Why is this an important time?
Thank you very much for having me. So there are many reasons that sparked my interest in this. One is also the fact that I grew up eating insect myself. And in the past 15, 17 years, there had been a clamor in terms of research, which we started looking at how to use insects sustainably as food. So through that and colleagues, that's how we get I got into the realm of working with edible insects.
Now, specifically, I refer to crickets and mealworms, which are your focus, I understand. What makes them particularly suited for human consumption?
Yeah, so cricket and mealworms, the reason why we chose them for our research is because they are easy to actually grow over here. So they don't, you don't have to wait for seasons. So if you compare them with other insects that have been used, like a palm mealworm, which you have to harvest from the wild, that is seasonal, but things like cricket and edible and mealworms are very easy. So they have been used for quite some time to provide animal feed. So it's now the shift to also use them for as human food. And as entomologists, we are used to rearing insect in the lab. So that's one of the reasons, and we can use that to actually upscale and get this insect, which are available all year round, for use as food or feed.
And Professor, how advanced is your research in terms of human consumption at the moment?
Yeah, so we have not yet started human trials, but this insect have been eaten elsewhere on the continent and also off the continent. So to give you a better context, what we started focusing on is that, especially for the mealworm, is that it's an insect that is usually a pest of grain, specifically wheat. So it's been reared on wheat bran, and wheat bran, it's very expensive because it is also used in other industries, especially the feed industry. So what myself and the students started doing was to experiment if we can actually rear these mealworms on other food items, like things that are not as expensive as wheat bran. Mm-hmm. So things like your wheat flour, your maize flour, and the rest. And that also not to use them as a single base. So that means that you can rear and harvest from them twice instead of just rearing once. So we were trying to look at how to optimize the system for better yield.
And Professor, if you get the cost paradigm right, how viable would insect farming be for South African small-scale or emerging farmers? Is there a business case here?
Yeah, there is a business case, because as I'm speaking to you at the moment, there are a lot of rearing facilities for the black soldier fly, which is another insect that is being used to combat waste, that is vegetable waste. And the larva is being used as feed in poultry, as well as the frass, which is the excrement, being used as an organic fertilizer. So coming back to your question, how viable it is, so it is a venture that one can start with the little capital. You don't need a lot of space, and you need basic resources. So our ultimate goal and aim with this is that we want to upscale this so that the people who are in the rural areas, with the little they have, they can engage in such an activity where they will also be able to earn money. So with very little capital. So we are intending to, at the end, have a value chain where you have the production, we have the harvesting, as well as the sales of edible insects.
Professor, that's one side of the equation, I guess, but the bigger challenge surely would be in creating public and consumer acceptance for insect-based foods. That would be harder to achieve, surely.
Yes, that is you're very right there. So what we aim to offer is that it's very surprising to know that there are quite a number of people who are used to eating insect, people like myself, whereas the majority don't do that. So to cater for those who don't do it, instead of eating insect the way they are, we are advocating for fortified foods. So for instance, you have your flour or something that is fortified with the protein that is insect-based. So in that case, you're not eating the insect directly, but you are eating the protein that is coming from the insect. And there are such products available in Europe and in the United States at the moment, but using different other insects. So in that aspect, we are working with colleagues from our food and consumer science to see how we can embed this into acceptable forms of food.
And what about taste?
Yeah, it tastes very great. So some people will tell you that it tastes like fish, which is what protein is, or they will tell you it tastes like peanut. This is because this insect contains a lot of lipids.
As far as you're concerned, as an insect eater, what how would you describe the taste?
Yeah, it's one in a million. It's one in a million. So it has a very unique taste. And what happens is that after eating, especially if you eat it without something, that taste remains with you for quite some time.
Let me ask you, from a regulatory point of view, are we far behind or are we on track with approval for edible insects for commercial human consumption? Have we started to think about that yet?
No, we have not, especially here in South Africa. There are no direct legislations that governs the use of insect as food and feed. So it is one of the other aspects that we have to pursue. So we are looking at multi-pronged approach. So at the bottom line, you have the research, and then you have the commercialization and upscaling, and then there has to be a regulation, because as it is, using insect as food or feed is mostly cultural or traditional. But the good news is that in other places on the continent, for instance in Kenya and Uganda, they already have legislations that is being implemented for how to use insect as part of food and feed. So, and there even are products developed by colleagues out up there that are even on sale in supermarket, but we are not yet there. So this is now where we want to buy in for the regulators to see how we can achieve this.
And Professor, I'm assuming there's a positive environmental footprint impact when it comes to insect farming versus traditional livestock. I guess that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yes, there is that. It's one of the reasons why we're advocating for the use of insects food and feed. This is because they have low carbon footprint. And also there is what we call feed conversion ratio, in that almost everything that is being produced is being consumed.
Thank you very much indeed. And let's see how this particular issue plays out. Professor Abdoulaye Ahmed Youssef from the Department of Zoology and Entomology at the University of Pretoria, thank you very much for talking to me.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.